AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It has been unbelievable what we have seen today in regards to what's going on with the Mueller report. It varies. Are Republicans who do not want to believe Trump did anything wrong going to find anything here that changes their mind? Absolutely not. They've already convinced themselves he's innocent. This is all a witch hunt. You know, I found it interesting that the Republicans, their argument seems to be threefold. One, the president can't ever be held accountable. Good luck with that. Second of all, and that's their argument, is that he can commit any crime he wants to. He's the president. There's nothing you can do about it. That is their argument. That the Mueller report exonerated him, still, they say this, but at the same time, the Mueller report was fraudulent, it's bad, it was the Legion of Doom that wrote this thing that was all bad. So yeah, they ignore the report outside of the fact that, no, the report made him exonerated, and by the way, he didn't commit any crimes anyway because he's the president and he's above the law. So it is interesting. I mean, that was the entire point of the first Republican volleys, was, you know, conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, not of any validation. And I think that Mueller kind of got off guard a little bit because of, like, you know, whatever. And he didn't really want to be there. The second time, the second committee hearing with Schiff, that's a very different cat indeed. That is a very different cat indeed. Matt Day with Eric. Howdy, Eric. Have you caught most of it or some of it today?
I caught a couple minutes. That's it.
It's you're about to hear the two best clips of this in regards to what you need to hear in regards to why this is important. And Schiff does a far better job than Nadler, although Nadler has the line of the day, which is, did you exonerate Trump? No, I did not. You know, and basically the entire idea of him being exonerated by the Mueller investigation is a false, it's a lie. And as a matter of fact, in that second hearing, it gets a lot worse for him. But we're going to play two clips from you. First of all, it's Adam Schiff. This is the head of Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee. And he's going to basically, this is him, you know, his opening statement for when Mueller, this is the second hearing that Mueller had today. This is the opening statement for him on this. It's about 2 minutes long. We'll play this one first.
Explicitly declined to address that question.
We got some buffering.
Buffering? Okay.
I'll let it go for a minute.
But. All right. 1 second here. Of course we do. Of course we do. That's unfortunate. Is it ready to go? Just give me a chance.
I'll let you know.
All right. Give me a heads up on that. Once again, Stein going to join us here in a little bit. I'll also let you know that the I do want to get to one other quick story, and I'm not trying to discount the Mueller investigation. I will briefly touch on the war over Al Franken and what the way people think about, you know, Al Franken and because there's one side of it. If I've often said you can't just dismiss all these people that are accusing him, but at the same time you can't do the other thing, which is basically blindly take this 100% without any investigation as factual. And there is a definite war going on between the two sides at this point. So still buffering?
It's actually working right now.
All right. So here we go. This is the Schiff to begin his committee hearing.
And non-criminal conduct. Your report laid out.
We'll get it eventually, but
wow, that's unfortunate. Well, maybe what we can do here
can help.
There you
Trump
go.
Campaign, the campaign's acceptance of that help and overt acts in furtherance of Russian help. To most Americans, that is the very definition of collusion, whether it is a crime or not. They say your report found no evidence of obstruction, though you outline numerous actions by the president intended to obstruct the investigation. They say the president has been fully exonerated, though you specifically declare you could not exonerate him. In fact, they say your whole investigation was nothing more than a witch hunt, that the Russians didn't interfere in our election, that it's all a terrible hoax. The real crime, they say, is not that the Russians intervened to help Donald Trump, but that the FBI had the temerity to investigate it when they did. But worst of all, worse than all the lies and the greed, is the disloyalty to country. For that too continues. When asked if the Russians intervene again, will you take their help, Mr. President? Why not? Was the essence of his answer. Everyone does it. No, Mr. President, they don't. Not in the America envisioned by Jefferson, Madison, and Hamilton. Not for those who believe in the idea that Lincoln labored until his dying day to preserve the idea animating our great national experiment, so unique then, so precious still, that our government is chosen by our people through our franchise and not by some hostile foreign power. This is what is at stake. Our next election and the one after that for generations to come. Our democracy. This is why your work matters, Director Mueller. This is why our investigation matters, to bring these dangers to light.
Very interesting. By the way, are we glitching on the video? Just FYI.
I will have to check.
All right. Just thank
putting
you.
Putting out fires.
Putting out fires left and right. 952-946-6205. Let's play then the second. Let's just go knock this one out. This is this is Schiff asking Mueller to clarify some statements. This is about a minute long. This is at the beginning of his testimony here. So go ahead and play this clip, okay?
So the Russia, in fact, he was seeking to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, is he not?
I think there is some question about when this was accomplished.
Well, you would consider a billion-dollar deal to build a tower in Moscow to be business dealings, wouldn't you, Director Mueller?
Yeah, absolutely.
In short, your investigation found evidence that Russia wanted to help Trump win the election, right?
I think generally that would be accurate.
Russia informed campaign officials of that?
I'm not certain to what conversations you're referring to.
Well, through an intermediary that informed Papadopoulos that they could help with the anonymous release of stolen emails?
Accurate.
Russia committed federal crimes in order to help Donald Trump?
When you're talking about the computer crimes in the charge,
yes.
In our case, absolutely.
The Trump campaign officials built their strategy, their messaging strategy around those stolen documents?
Generally, that's true.
And then they lied to cover it up.
Generally, that's true.
Thank you, Mr. Nunes.
Those last two questions are truly jaw-dropping questions. That he finally asked, did the Trump campaign mold their message to the stolen Clinton emails that WikiLeaks was releasing? Yes. Yes, they were. And that the Trump administration, or Trump campaign, did the Trump campaign then in turn lie about their interactions with the Russians? Absolutely. There was one other point from the first hearing, which was, I'd not heard this, and it's in the Mueller report, and it regards Rick Gates, who is Manafort's assistant. Rick Gates, the day that WikiLeaks released the first batch of Clinton emails, Rick Gates says he was at an airport, he had testified he was at an airport with Trump. Trump was on the phone, and he came back and he stated directly, we'll have more releases coming out soon. First of all, I mean, the fact that he was basically saying this is going to happen that in a coordinating manner is one thing. But the other side of it being that any argument after that, if that's true, completely annihilates the idea that Trump was not privy to this entire conversation. folks, there is so much evidence here that if I was to walk into a courtroom and present this, not only would I get a conviction, I would get a very quick conviction. There is enough evidence here that the Trump campaign indeed did work with the Russians. There are two other points that he wanted to say that in the second set of hearings, did Manafort meet with WikiLeaks? The guy said, "Well, your report says that he didn't meet with them." He says, "I can't clarify it like that." Well, does your report say they met? No, the report doesn't say it is. But there's a big distinction between, you know, the report doesn't say it, and can you definitively say Manafort didn't meet with WikiLeaks? And he said, "I cannot clarify that. I would not say that." The other was, would the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russians? And basically he said, no, yeah, well, I can't really negate that either. It's just, do they have a smoking gun that basically is Trump on tape saying, yeah, I'm working with the Russians? No. But they pretty much have got everything else, that if you walked into a courtroom today and you presented this evidence, Trump would be guilty of collusion, and it would not take a long time to do it. It's clear agents within his campaign were working with the Russians. And if you take the Rick Gates, you know, testimony, that Gates basically said, oh yeah, Trump was coordinating this, well then, yeah, he's guilty. I did like how the Democrats did break it down, although, once again, in the first committee hearing, there was much more of a, I guess you could say, like I said, the Republicans, their main goal was to just scream at him or put out the most obnoxious, outrageous conspiracy theories in the history of mankind. The Democrats' strategy was a very good one. They basically focused on the five most damning obstruction of justice charges against him, and they went through the Mueller testimony to basically say, here is an obstruction of justice charge. And in the Republicans, they tried their hardest to say, well, why didn't you do this? If you could charge him, why didn't you charge him? Oh, well, the Department of Justice says you couldn't charge him. Oh, well, you know, why did you interpret the statutes like this? I mean, they were trying very hard to find some way to offset this. But, I thought Mueller did a pretty good job of just pointing back to the report. And this idea that he was – they kept trying to get Mueller to admit that Trump hadn't done anything to validate all their claims that Trump hadn't done anything. And at no point did he come out and say, no. I was wrong. It was right. He came out and he basically said, no, I did not exonerate him. I could not charge him with a crime. The most – and I'll get to this with Stein. The most – I think the moment, like I said, that scared the Republicans most of all was this notion that Mueller put out there that, yeah, you could charge him with a crime once he leaves office, which to a point scares me because, yeah, that might be the motivation he needs to try to not ever leave office. So anyway, once again, a lot of interest. There's going to be a lot of breakdown here. Does this get him any closer to impeachment? I don't know. With the milquetoast Nancy Pelosi, probably not. But it clearly opens the door to definitely some more investigations going on. Absolutely, that on that level. 952-946-6205. By the way, is the stream up and going here?
The stream is going. It didn't play the audio clips through the stream.
Okay,
didn't I? That's because of a weird thing about streaming other sources.
Those, if you're watching us on the stream and you missed those were the best part of this show.
I actually included a link to the individual videos on the comment section.
There you go. All right, there you go. Thank you very much. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Touch briefly on Franken because there's a story in the Huffington Post I wanted to address. Plus as well, Rutger Hauer. No, I'll talk about that when I return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
You know what's cool? Summer is cool. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning also thinks it's cool, too. Well, be cool in the summer. That's why Standard is giving you $900 in savings on a ductless unit or air conditioning system now through the end of July. Just imagine having reliable cooling comfort all summer long for years to come. So contact Standard or go to standardheatingdeals.com to learn how you can save $900 on a new AC system. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer the 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And they pay top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Rutger Hauer passed away. I don't know. You probably know him from Batman Begins. Was probably
I know him from Blade Runner.
You know him from Blade Runner?
Yeah.
He wrote the line, "All these moments will be lost in time like tears in the rain."
Yeah. I think that whole monologue was improv, which is
just incredible. Amazing. That's one of the greatest moments of all film history. Seriously. That entire scene, Daryl Hannah, Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer, that is as good as movies gets. I mean, I remember watching that and just being just on the edge of my seat the entire time. A very good film. Lady Hawk with Matthew Broderick and Michelle Pfeiffer is another just fantastic film where they're cursed, where he's a wolf at night and she's human and she's a bird during the day and he's human. And it's this curse that's been put on them, and Matthew Broderick is there to help them out. A very underrated film. Nighthawks, I believe, he was the villain in Nighthawks.
That sounds so ridiculous. I have a hard time believing it's good.
It is shockingly good.
Really?
It is unique. Matthew Broderick is brilliant in that movie, actually. A very underrated film. I highly recommend Lady Hawk. I mean, the special effects are a little goofy, but, you know, it's quite good. And then, of course, Hitcher, another great movie where he was, it was kind of creepy in that one. He did good bad guys. 952-946-6205. Now, I want to make sure I say this before I get, because once again, Stein, more on the Mueller testimony when we come back with Stein. But I wanted to – I read this article, and this is a piece in Huffington Post with Zachary Roth, real story about the allegations against Al Franken. And basically, it's one of these pieces that's come on out to attack the New Yorker who had Jane Meyer published a fairly lengthy investigative report, which I have read, that basically calls into question the Leanne Tweeden allegations. And that, as a matter of fact, she goes kind of point by point through Leanne Tweeden and negates a good chunk of her entire argument. And, you know, and one of the things I have said is this, is at the end of the day, and I said this back when Franken was first accused, even if there doesn't seem to be any evidence to back up the claim, if the person really truly believes that a line was crossed, you have to give that person some level of you know, accommodation. That you can't just, you don't just go on out there and negate people. But you see, this is the reason why, and we've talked about this a little bit because of the New Yorker story, the reason why what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to give people a chance to defend themselves. And that he should have had a chance to go and defend himself in the Senate. He was calling for an investigation, but many Democrats, some of the people who wanted him replaced, other people who just, you know, wanted to believe the worst against him, needless to say, wanted him gone, and so they didn't really give him a chance. And we talked on this show, once again, I'm not going to discredit the woman who was down in Texas who used to live in the South Metro, who says that she was, you know, sexually assaulted by him on the WCCO booth over at the State Fair. I have brought up numerous problems with that story, though, that I have been able to say, you know, this doesn't seem right. Now, I'm not saying she's not telling the truth. I'm just saying that there needs to be more of an investigation on this stuff, and that's what you do. So for all the people out there who are Franken apologists, you can't just dismiss this many allegations. That being said, there are two that are anonymous, and I do not believe you don't destroy people's career off of anonymous allegations. You do not do that. And you in the same sense is that, you know, anyone can make an anonymous allegation, and you're talking about people's lives. And whether or not, and I get the point where, you know, it was interesting when you got to the Me Too movement and, oh God, who is the guy that was, he did Talking Dead and stuff like this, Chris Hardwick. Thank you. Chris Hardwick. And if you don't read his story, he had an ex-girlfriend who basically threw him under the bus and said he was a horrible guy. But as you read her account of what happened, there came the question of, all right, he's creepy. Don't get me wrong. Hardwick seems a little bit odd of a guy, but it also doesn't seem like it's, you know, assault. It just seems like he's kind of creepy in a relationship. He likes to know where things are. He has certain tastes and stuff like that. And, you know, and there was a full investigation by AMC who kept him on board with Talking Dead, and they came back and said, we're not going to fire him. So you give people a chance to prove their innocence, and what they came with AMC is that, well, we don't necessarily approve of his personal life. He didn't commit any crimes, and that's why Hardwick was allowed to stay. That's what you do. That wasn't an anonymous claim. That was actually someone making a direct claim. An anonymous claim, you can't just sit there and, especially, I'm anonymous. I'm not going to tell you who I am. He's a bad guy. Done. You don't do that. Meyer also doesn't mention the fact with another and this guy in this story article here, Franken cupped a woman whose claims here that Franken grabbed her, cupped her caboose at a 2008 campaign fundraiser in Minneapolis. Meyer tried hard to contact the woman to make the allegation, but the woman ultimately decided to not speak with Meyer. Okay, now. So once again, Meyer is doing this article for The New Yorker about Leanne Tweeden. She wants to basically talk to this person. She's refusing to talk. Okay. I don't know what I think about that allegation. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting you to go on out there and put your life out there. But you've removed a senator from the office. This is why there should have been an investigation. This person should have been compelled to testify about what you have to say. Not because we want to ruin him. I don't like what happened with the Brett Kavanaugh story. I think that people have a chance to be heard. You can do it in behind closed doors, and you can do it in private. But they should be able to come out there and say this. And the fact that this woman quickly turned down Meyer for this interview is one thing. And then this guy goes on in this article to basically bring up another person who basically is refusing to speak about it, Hatch. Said he grabbed her caboose at a photo op in 2007 political event. And, you know, the people, you know, and one of the things that's argued is that he just is not very good with his hands and he basically is, gets goofy. And so, you know, is this really what they're claiming it is or is this? Regardless of the case, you can't go either way. You can't go and negate all these women. But until there's a full investigation, you can't just sit there and say they're all 100% telling the truth, because we have this ugly thing in America. It's called innocent until proven guilty. And God forbid we actually do that. And you're seeing in this whole thing with Trump an extreme version of it. That Mueller, he's basically saying he's really kind of guilty, but he's not officially guilty. And in the case, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And no, you know, there's a lot of people that do not want to give Franken any benefit of the doubt. If this is, you're going to want to put this to bed, then there better be a full investigation. Because one way or the other, this is going to stay alive. And if Franken wants to run again for office, you'd better come up with some way to figure out what exactly happened here. But because it doesn't do anyone good to say they're all not telling the truth, and it sure as heck doesn't do any good to basically say, take their word at it, at the expense of Franken, he's done. You have to find the middle ground. And I will say this, considering how many people who don't like Franken are furious about this New Yorker article, are you mad about the article because it doesn't back up your narrative, or you're mad about the article because it dismisses it? Because there's a difference there. 952, I'll post the entire article. I'll post the New Yorker article, and I'll post the piece from Huffington Post tonight as well. You can look and make your mind. But once again, there should have been an investigation. And the fact that we didn't doesn't excuse the fact that we didn't have an investigation. Stein, when we do come back, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 87. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 90. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Nightingale. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing but is sure to satisfy your appetite. They offer something for everyone, from seafood to unbelievable vegetarian options. Located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Indeed, Nightingale, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Try their brunch out this weekend. It's fantastic. One of my favorite places in town. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is the public service show. He joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff, as we talk about the Mueller investigation, let's first make sure we make a point here that if you believe Trump is innocent, there's nothing that was said today that's going to change your mind. And if you think that Trump is guilty, there's nothing that's been said today that's going to change your mind. Correct? Am I fair to say that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think the folks who posted tweets loaded them last night. Because they knew what they were going to say. I mean, I start scrolling
Not the ones. I will say this. The more damning stuff, the people that did quote some of the stuff, because there was some damning things that came on out. They didn't write them.
The stuff that's quoted, but the ones that said, oh, this is a waste of time, or he's really on the ropes now. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Load him a week ago. Whatever. I mean, it was to your point. If you had already found religion on the issue, either side of the church, nothing changed, okay? But let's see if you agree with me on this.
Yeah.
The point of having Mueller testify was to – and this is not – I'm not being disparaging. It was to make it a show. It was to make it a public spectacle so that those who had not formed an opinion or not read the report would have an opportunity – I mean, the idea was to back up, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, let's looking at this, I don't like using sports analogies, but looking at this like what the layout of the game was. The first hearing was much more from the Democrats' point of view was they specifically focused on the five worst obstruction of justice things and broke those down completely. There also was a humdinger of a line there where they basically brought the line from – it was Rick Gates, his testimony to Mueller where he said he was on the tarmac after the WikiLeaks released the first amount of Clinton emails and Trump got off the phone with him and said, good news, more releases are coming soon. So they basically are – they put out information for people to see that this is indeed a crime. The Republicans' attitude was basically scream at Mueller as much as possible, somehow claim that the report completely exonerated Trump while at the same time criticizing every aspect of the report that it was somehow fraudulent from the get-go and creating conspiracy theories on this. The second hearing was far more interesting outside of Nadler's first points, and I'll get to those in a second. The second hearing was far more interesting because that had to do a lot more with the Russian interference. And there were some unintentional – Republicans kind of stepped in it when they multiple times tried – they made the mistake of – they should have said, is it in the report? Instead, they said, do you agree with that? And when they – specifically about Manafort meeting with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange – he said, do you agree with that? He said, I would not characterize it like that. To which immediately the guy comes in, oh, what I meant is it in the report? Well, it's not in the report. Well, now it's already out there. You got that out there. And then the other one was did the Trump campaign coordinate with the Russian release? And once again, they should have said, did you find that in the report? They didn't. They said, do you think this? And then Mueller said, well, I'm not going to comment on that. Do you think that they didn't do this? He said, I would not agree with that stance. And then they immediately came back and said, well, was it in the report? They stepped on themselves a few times. That second hearing was far more damaging, I think, to Trump than the first one was.
A few things about this. And let me jump off. And I'm not disagreeing with a single thing you've said. So that could be a first.
Yeah, well, right there. Yeah, here we go.
good to talk to you, man. I'm done.
We are done. Thanks. Bye, Jeff.
Let's talk about some restaurants. Okay. Yeah. No, the or whales and windmills.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do whales and windmills today, man.
Okay. So the idea was to have a bit of a public show. But here was the flaw in that, okay? Mueller is not the type of witness to give you that. In other words, you needed someone. And I it's got to be Mueller because he's the special counsel, but you needed someone who would demonstrate some passion during the testimony. There's a reason Mueller didn't want to testify. And it's precisely because of the fact that this is what you were going to get. He did not lead to sound bites, if you will, and that's what was going to attract attention. Now, that said, the Democrats laid this out very nicely, where some of us thought, well, it's just going to be two identical hearings. What's the point of this? They very carefully tried to have the Nadler committee lay out certain things, the Schiff committee lay out certain other things. Partly that's because they're different committees with different purview. Okay, so that alone makes sense. But they laid out different things in the hope, I think, that something might resonate, that there might be something to attract these folks in the middle, the ones who haven't made a decision about things. There were some folks, though. I mean, I saw David Axelrod on the Twitter machine early on was talking about how dreadful the whole hearing was. Well, you got to be there for both things. There was 7 hours of somewhat laborious testimony in there. But again, the concept that people are using terms, people on the right were using terms that don't exist, like exonerated. You and I have talked about this. There's no prosecutor who is going to exonerate someone. This is me speaking as a lawyer. Sure, I'm going to say, if I'm representing Matt McNeil in a criminal case and Matt McNeil is found not guilty, I am going to say Matt McNeil is innocent. But they're not the same things, okay? If you're found not guilty, that doesn't mean you're innocent. It means you are not guilty of the charges. Similarly here, just because they did not file a criminal charge, forget the you can't indict a sitting president stuff. The mere fact that there's not a charge does not mean there is no evidence. It means there's not enough to charge. And so the fact that you then had Mueller from the start saying, I'm not using the word collusion. That's not a legal phrase. Perfect. I mean, he's laying it right out there. There's just – it's not the fire and brimstone and the quick sound bite. And that's where I think – The folks who wanted the hearings got some things out of it, but not as much as they may have wanted. I think I'll phrase it that way.
Well, and I think you're right with the Republicans because they kept trying to, and you and I have talked about this. If you're starting to try to describe the instructions for the VCR in this thing, it's a failure. You want the quick sound bites, and there were three particular ones. I mentioned the one about Rick Gates saying that, oh, Trump had said that, yeah, we've coordinated this, and that's pretty damning. Now, once again, if you take Rick Gates for his word. The two that came from from the first hearing that I thought were pretty spectacular was Nadler himself saying, did you exonerate Trump? And no, I did not. The other one, which you could clearly caught the Republicans off guard, was Mueller saying, yeah, when he leaves office, you sure as heck could charge him with a crime. And so what Mueller just said there is, oh, yeah, there's a crime here. There's a crime. And they kept saying you weren't following that rule. They were trying to say you're not following the rules of the DOJ that you could have charged him. But he's saying, no, I couldn't. But if he's not the president anymore, yeah, you could charge him with a crime.
Okay. Based on the two things you said, that is the Democrats, in this case Nadler, setting it up perfectly in this respect. If you were going to have a lot of people paying attention to the hearing, I would suggest to you it's going to be right at the beginning, right? Because people, this is boring after a while, blah, blah, blah. So the fact that he asked him the questions the way he did you exonerate the president? No, I didn't. Okay, the follow-up would have been, but it's not your job to exonerate the president, is it? It is to find criminal wrongdoing and make a report or not find criminal wrongdoing. But, of course, there's no follow-up, right? I mean, why would Nadler ask that follow-up? That undermines the whole point. Because the soundbite is, did you exonerate the president? No. Perfect, just as you set out. The other one, though, is a little more problematic because for a soundbite, in essence, it's a hypothetical. It's, well, the president could be charged out when he's not in office. And the answer is, well, of course he could. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, if you really get into it, it's not Mueller endorsing it. It's Mueller saying, well, you could charge a sitting president after he's out of office. But the soundbite's going to make it sound the way that you just described. If you only hear the soundbite, well, it's going to make it sound like Mueller is endorsing it, and I'm not sure he was.
I don't think he was, but he was saying, I mean, as one legal expert on this said, he goes, what he's saying is as long as there's not double jeopardy. That, yeah, you know, as long as there's no double jeopardy, if you've not charged him with this, there is no timeline really here, and especially not in the next 3 years. You could, if he loses in 2020, immediately after the inauguration, charge him with a crime of obstruction of justice. And, you know, and that becomes a very different case at that point. Obviously, I don't think Barr is going to do that. And I highly doubt that a lot of the Democratic leaders would be on board with that. But I thought that was an interesting point because, once again, I liked how the Democrats laid out the five counts of obstruction and really went into detail on there about, you know, the firing and basically the Comey conversation and his former lawyer. What was his name? The guy that looks like a TV dad from the 70s.
Looks like a TV dad.
Okay, we'll figure it out. But his former lawyer basically used, like, you know, he went to Reince Priebus and said, you know, I can't, there's no way. He wants me to do some crazy blank, and I'm not going to do that. You know, I think they did a good job, but once again, the longer those explanations came on, the more to the VCR instructions they became.
Yeah, and that's the thing where, again, to the point, they did a nice job of laying out the sound bites early on. But it got a little laborious as time went on. And so the question is, did it move the needle at all? And I guess I'll pick up on your original statement. If you were in one of the two camps, for him or against him, if you will, to begin with, nothing changed your mind.
McGahn.
If you were
– McGahn, thank
I'm
you.
Sorry?
McGahn.
No.
I'm sorry.
This just in from Twitter, someone prompting that. It was Don McGahn.
Thank you. But I'm right. TV dad from the 70s, right?
No, you're right. Team hashtag help Matt McNeil.
Oh, thank you.
We all need it. Heaven knows.
Sorry,
but the point about the point about does it move the needle? Did it get people jazzed up outside of the summer? Let's go to the county fair and take the kids to the swimming pool. I don't know that it did. In other words, I don't know that it gave the Democrats who were rabid for impeachment enough to go forward. It certainly didn't, and I'll use the phrase exoneration because they tend to, but it certainly did not give the Republicans enough to run home and say, well, see, you know, and again, Mueller didn't want to testify for a number of reasons. One is philosophical. It's in the report. I did a report. I shouldn't have to testify. But I think also because he wasn't the best witness. And I say that not in a disparaging way, but, you know, again, as a lawyer, there are some people who are tremendous in the courtroom. They're demonstrative. They grew up watching Boston Legal, and they all want to be the James Spader character. You know, they have that kind of a connection with the jury. And there are others who write appellate briefs and do research and do investigations. Mueller does not appear to be the grandstanding one. All right. And so that's the disconnect, if you will, if what you're looking for is cute little video that can be popped on the Twitter machine.
And goes back to what we initially said, which is I don't think this necessarily changed anyone's mind. It got it out there, and now it becomes harder to deny. And there came in the – especially in the first hearing. Final mm-hmm. question on the first hearing before we go to the second one. Yep. But there came a point where I realized, oh, these guys are in trouble because they're already looking at 2020. They're realizing all of them came on out and said, this exonerated the president. No collusion, no obstruction. This exonerated him. And now you have Mueller. No, I didn't exonerate him at all. And so you know their campaign ads for these guys are going to be, he was completely exonerated, followed by Mueller saying, I did not exonerate him. And that's a very tough ad to get around. And so there came a moment, and would you agree that the Republicans were, I think, looking this a little bit more in a campaign stance of trying to find enough confetti to throw out there so that you could not see the court?
To some degree, yeah. I mean, because the enough confetti so you couldn't see the court. Wow, you're into the sports today.
What's wrong with me? I don't know.
Well, we don't have time left. But no, it's they were trying to, they were not as well orchestrated. Okay, I mean, the Democrats were go figure. Democrats were well organized. I don't know if I've ever said that on this program, but they were well organized and had their talking points and had done all this. And the Republicans did. It seemed like there was enough vehemence that they couldn't actually either stick to a script. When far right wing Republicans are tweeting out, you know, please tell the ranking member to slow down. He's not, you know, I mean, in the first hearing, it was motor mouth and they weren't getting anywhere because he was so eager to get him. And it turned out just falling flat. So, yeah, no, it was not a great performance by the folks on the right. But the bottom line is a lot of hand-wringing and hue and cry and consternation, and it didn't change diddly squat. Yes, it did get it out there again, unless you weren't paying attention before and you still aren't. So, you know, it didn't hurt anybody, didn't help anybody. It was a big nothing burger to me.
Well, I think that I won't say it's a nothing burger. I mean, you know, that Nadler getting him to admit, okay, we did not exonerate the president, and also we could charge him after the fact. Those were big ones. I also think
But that's not new.
Well,
I don't think
– it was new in this guise is that there was a lot of people, as you said, at the beginning of this thing to immediately have Mueller say – we did not exonerate him, I think was new. And then also the idea is, we can charge him now through impeachment or after he's out of office, which I guarantee you got Trump's thing. I think the line about from Gates talking about the conversation on the airport, that was, you know, that was pretty dang shocking. I had not heard that. When we do return, Jeff, let's bring up the second hearing. I also want to say where do the Democrats go in the House after this? Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug.
If I don't find the right car insurance for me, I might just give up.
Did someone just say, if I don't find the right car insurance for me, I might just give up? Ma'am, what if my partner, this wild emu, and I told you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need?
I'd say sign me up for Liberty Mutual. And also, your emu is eating my tire.
Limu! No. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming, diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, lots of comments coming in on there. You can watch the show, by the way. It's on Facebook on Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X, and AM 950 Radio as well. Jeff, the second hearing, that was a very different cat because there was – not only did Schiff, I think, lay out – and we played that clip already. The one-minute clip of him basically getting Mueller to admit that the Trump campaign molded their entire strategy to the Russians releasing these these, you know, Clinton emails, and that the Trump campaign had lied repeatedly about that. I thought those were two very damning points. But, you know, there were some things, like I said, in that second hearing, the Republicans, I don't know what they were trying to do, but they stepped in it quite a bit. And it was, I thought, it just as a whole, once again, I know where most people are looking for the bumper sticker, they're looking for the quick soundbite. But if you watch that second hearing, that was trouble for Trump because it brought the entire collusion thing out, that it wasn't just random made up facts, that there was a heck of a lot of smoke here. And just because you don't have the smoking gun per se doesn't mean that there isn't something going on.
Well, and this is where Trump is going to claim victory, probably has six times on Twitter already just since we began talking a few minutes ago. But he's going to say, Mueller did not find collusion. See, no collusion. Well, Mueller had said Collusion's not a phrase. I mean, it's not a legal term. It has no meaning. And so much of this, if you wind up framing the discussion under a phrase that has no legal significance, then that's a disconnect. If people are listening to just what you suggested and not trying to shoehorn it into a category like obstruction or collusion. Now, I understand obstruction is a legal charge. It is a violation of the law. Point is, if they just listen to the items and not does it constitute this amalgam, that is going to be more troublesome for the president, okay? Because, again, when we're playing this when is collusion, not collusion game, maddening. But if you just tell us this is what happened this date, this is what happened this date, that's when, if people are listening, they will be able to form opinions. If we get stuck with legal standards or these prophylactic terms, again, that's just going to wash over people. Specifics always win. When you're telling any kind of a story, specifics always win. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem today in a lot of the hearing. They got way deep into the weeds on some legal things. And as a lawyer, I was bored with, for crying out loud.
Schiff really did a fine job, I think, opening that up and basically saying, why is this important? Because working with foreign governments is illegal. And Mueller did very clearly say, do not think this was a 2016 thing. They're doing it right now. And, you know, this is going to be a continual problem until you guys deal with it. I mean, that was another thing that came out of these hearings, right? Is that the foreign governments are trying to work with this. I doubt that Nancy Pelosi is, you know, getting ready with impeachment papers. I highly doubt that. What this does do, though, is there's at least five or six people right now that off of Mueller's testimony need to be called in and can very justifiably be called in for a committee hearing. The investigation will go on, I think, with the Nadler comments that, no, I did not exonerate him, and no, you could charge with a crime when he's out of office. I think that gives him enough foothold as well. Anticipate maybe not impeachment, but probably more investigation.
Is that the best strategy for the Democrats in two different ways, governance and electoral politics? In other words, if they push for impeachment, I don't think they have impeachment. They certainly don't have the votes, and it won't matter because the Senate won't do it anyway. So you have to wonder, is it helpful to do additional public investigation points that can be, if you will, the drip, drip, drip that ultimately becomes a bucket of water that can torpedo a reelection effort? That might be the best way. This is the Pelosi plan. Let's go long game. Let's win it at the ballot box in 2020, not just the House, but then take the Senate, take the White House. That's the easiest, most efficient way to get rid of the president. I think what's going to tell is, let's find out what voters tell their representatives during the August recess. CBS had a poll that said, and it's a bare majority, but a majority of people said enough already. Okay, now there's been the hearings. Does that number go up or down? That's dispositive to me.
And also, once again, this whole thing with the squad is not helping them. One final quick question for you here on this. In regards to, do you think that the Republicans might look to make a deal? That if things don't look that well, just sort of saying, okay, let him serve out his term. He's done after one. And then what we do is this, is that once he's out of office, don't charge him with a crime, but we ourselves will put constitutional amendments up there to basically forbid any kind of foreign interaction. Do you think eventually it gets dealt with that way?
No, I don't think they're going to make any deals. I just don't think there's the stomach for the Republicans to make any kind of a deal. It's going to have to be a lot worse. And if it gets a lot worse, then it's going to look like a failed reelection effort. And then they're going to be bailing like crazy, wanting to preserve their own hides.
Yeah, and then we have the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. and that's ugly. And there's that out there that's hanging out there. We have to get to that's, yeah, as you said, it could get ugly. That's one way for sure. All right, Jeff Stein, once again, Iowa Politics Report a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you very much. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books and TotallyIowa.com. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Whales and windmills.
Whales and windmill next week. Whales and windmills. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, the guys got more coming up here in the next hour. Stay with us right here on AM 950. Till then, see ya.